This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The moment is not at all lost on Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. They understand what is being asked of them by this organization.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Tuesday's edition of Birds 365, joined now by Mark Farzetta, host of the Farzee Show. Mark, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Oh, nothing. Just hanging out in the old studio. Really excited to talk to you fine people. John, wow. Tander, always yes. A pleasure. What's popping?
What's up, buddy? It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
I guess I have to ask your thoughts on, people take the baton. They go whatever way they want. Where did Mark Farzetta take the baton with Jalen Hurts and his stumbling and stuttering about Nick Sirianni's role?
I would have liked stumbling and stuttering. At least that would have been him saying something. The question was fair. It was basically say something nice about Nick Sirianni.
Yeah. And, it's a softball. Martin called it. Martin Frank, my buddy.
It was a wiffle ball. It was a wiffle ball.
Yeah. And a softball. Just say something nice and move on. Mark's right.
That's all it was. And it was like, I compare it to this. It's like, let's imagine we all have like real jobs, like regular jobs, like where we're sitting in a cubicle or something like that. Right. And someone's like, hey, say something nice about the person you share a wall with in the cubicle.
Asshole. Yeah.
Exactly. That's yeah. Like, even if you don't think the person's an athlete, if you just don't have the highest opinion, but you're nice and you want to still be somewhat respectful and you don't want to make an enemy where you don't have to, you do exactly what Jalen Hurts did. Jalen Hurts acknowledged for me in that whole thing where he had to ask a follow-up question, like say something nice about Nick Sirianni. Couldn't. No, really, say something about nice about Nick Sirianni. He's got a good message. Okay, cool. Thank you. It is for me, it's confirming that Nick Sirianni, that's really what we already knew, and it's by Nick's own admission.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts' own acknowledgement between 95% of the offense being different. And Nick saying that Kellen Moore has to make a decision. Kellen has to make a decision. Kellen's terminology. It's everything that we have kind of already known, but confirming it even further, if you can do that. To me, what's going on with Nick Sirianni, like the worst I've ever seen a quote-unquote soft firing is obviously Howie Roseman in the final year of Chip Kelly, where they just stripped him of all, you know, responsibility in the front office and pushed him away to the broom closet. Nick is definitely not in the broom closet, but he's the closest to the broom closet since that year with Howie Roseman. That's what I heard from Jalen.
Yeah, Hurts. And by the way, that didn't work out well, Mark.
But I know that's the thing. They won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl 2 years later. If that's the way they're going to go about it, that's a ass backwards way of going about it.
How bad is this, Mark, for Nick Sirianni? Is it a little bit of offseason overblown, or is this a guy who is – lost the football team, lost his control, and it will mean bad things for the Eagles in 24.
John, you and I know have talked about this in the past. You like the term CEO head coach. I still go with regional manager head coach.
Regional manager.
I can't go. I'm not busting him to assistant to the regional manager, but I am making him regional manager.
Well, I will say the Howie comp, the one thing about Howie, which I don't know people know, but I say it all the time. Well, Howie got exiled to the other side of the building.
Right.
He also got a raise and a better job title. Now, don't get me wrong, it was still bad from Howie's perspective because Howie loves personnel and Jeffrey knew he was taken away. But he still loved Howie, and he didn't want to lose him. He actually gave him more money. He gave him a raise. Now, if the Jets came calling, another team came calling to be a GM, would Howie have left? Probably. But he got a raise. With this situation with Nick, I think it's about keeping his high-paying job. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the situation. I think he saw it as a political animal and said, if I go into this office after that collapse to Jeffrey Lurie and I say, Doug Peterson it, and say, oh, I won 29 of 32 games. Give me a mulligan. I need Brian Johnson back. I need Alex Tanney back. No scapegoats. I think he's out the door. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was Jeffrey Lurie saying you have to fire these guys. I think it was Nick being politically savvy and realizing he had to do something else to keep his job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's not a good situation, Mark.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni being out on the street after this year doesn't immediately get a job. But if Nick Sirianni sticks around for another head coaching year at least, and this Eagles team does well, then that obviously is going to open some more doors for Nick Sirianni down the line. So he did the smart thing. I don't fault him for doing that. My issue, Xander, in terms of your question about, you know, how much this has me concerned, if Nick Sirianni came in at this level of power and sway, then I wouldn't have that much of a problem. But since we have seen this diminishing responsibility of Nick Sirianni since he's been the head coach, that is concerning. I mean, you're talking about a guy that came in as the head coach and play caller, quickly realizing play caller is a little much. I'm going to back off of that. And it worked out. He gave it to Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen flourished in the role. It was a lot alarming to me that going into last season, Nick Sirianni, even with Brian Johnson, now Steichen, of course, not exactly the most experienced of play callers coming into the position last year. Brian Johnson, literally no play calling experience at the NFL. And Nick Sirianni still thought it best to have that off his plate and in the hands of Brian Johnson. And when the opportunity presented itself down the line to maybe make a change when it came to offensive play calling, when the reports were coming out by our own friend Derek Gunn there about whether or not this offense was becoming predictable, he stuck with Brian Johnson and made the change defensively. That doesn't make any sense to me. And now we're going from, forget about game planning, it's all Kellen Moore. So I hate to refer back to the old cliche that we've all been talking about this offseason. You know, what is it you say you do here? What is the role of Nick Sirianni? Is it just giving messages to this team? Is it just making them pull focus? Does this team have two head coaches, one of the offense, one of the defense, and a guidance counselor in the middle? Like, what does he do with this Philadelphia Eagles team? And that, to me, is the concern. Is he, as long as he stays out of the way, and is there to play maybe good cop when Vic Fangio is being looked at bad cop, whatever case might be, then I could see him helping the team. But even that, I feel, is a stretch. To me, it's going to come down to these coordinators and how good a job they do with this offense and defense.
Well, now, what Xander and I talked about this, so I want to throw it at you, Mark. The idea of a play call, it drives me insane, to be honest. And let's use Shane as an example. Because obviously there's a lot of revisionist history. When they changed play callers, when Nick changed play callers and gave it to Shane, nobody knew, if you remember.
Right. Not so much later.
Yeah. And still after, you know, when we finally uncovered it and reported it, people assumed they made the change after the Raiders game. The Raiders game would be the famous. Nick got the flowers thrown at him. And everybody's saying he's got to be. And then the next week was Detroit, and they destroyed the Lions at Ford Field. Different Lions team lines are great now. They were not great then. They destroyed the Lions, and everybody thought, oh, that's when Shane took over. It wasn't. It was the next week against the Chargers. They actually lost that game, and then they took off. And made the playoffs with Shane Steichen as play caller. Mm-hmm. But my point of bringing that up, Mark, is nobody knew. If it's that difference to all these people, all these play calling people, if it's that different, how could you not know?
Right.
How could you not know? It's the most overblown thing in sports, play calling. It's about execution. It's about teaching. Don't get me wrong. You know, Shane was very good. I would say with the callback, Shane would set people up. He'd use something in the first quarter, then go back to it in the big spot late in the game, maybe pull them a little bit. There's a little bit of feel for it, and he was great at it. But, boy, people do not judge play calling. They judge play results.
I was just going to say, and I know you and I have talked about that plenty of times in the past, this is a situation where I agree with you, and I agree with that statement. And generally speaking, that is correct. Most people will talk about the result. They won't talk about the philosophy behind the result. Whether or not it was luck, whether or not it was actually something that was beautifully engineered by an offensive mastermind, or whatever the case might be.
Right.
That's an example of me, of a perfect example of people judging the result. But when you hear the term predictability, that's where I think it gets into people's heads like, oh, okay, hold on a second. This is a lot of, and I know everyone does tight end screens. I know everyone does wide receiver screens. I know everyone, when you have an athletic quarterback, will have plays that all of a sudden that athletic quarterback just makes it on his own. But when you see it at the clip that you saw, especially at the end of this past season, it goes a little bit more beyond result, and it goes more into the idea behind it. Devontae Smith blocking for who was Kenny Gainwell, where Devontae Smith got hurt. Yeah, and but still, the play didn't go for anything either. So, like, that's something that I think a lot of people look at and go, okay, I understand you're going to run bubble screens, tight end screens. Why not get the ball in the hands of somebody who can make a play and somebody who can actually make block? That's
I would say there's plenty to criticize. Don't get me wrong. Anybody who knows me, you know me well enough, Mark. I hate the bubble screen. It's the worst play in the history of sports. They should bar it from the game. It is so aesthetically unpleasing.
Headed that way.
I hate everything about it. But that's a perfect, and I always go to the Seattle game, but that a bubble screen is a perfect example. Typically, that's not the play call. Typically, the quarterback goes up and wide receiver screen, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They go to the line of scrimmage. Yeah, they check to it because it becomes a math equation. Oh, we got an extra man in the box. We're going to throw it outside. Extension of the running game. Mm-hmm. It's not even a play call. And you're judging the play call. It's a stupid play. I hate it. But it's not even a play call.
I'll put it to you like this. One of the things that I would talk about a lot last year, especially when it came to play calling and results of the plays and all that stuff, was kind of this like quad o blame when it came to the plays being run by the Philadelphia Eagles, whether it was called or it was just run. And you talk about Jeffrey Lurie and analytics, you talk about Nick Sirianni's input, Brian Johnson, and then what Jalen Hurts feels comfortable doing, and Jalen Hurts is going to check down to when he's seeing what's in front of him. Maybe he doesn't like what he sees, or he just doesn't understand what he sees, and he checks down to that play. And the reason I bring that up is because by the admission of Shane Steichen and Jalen Hurts in Jalen Hurts' incredible runner-up MVP season, and the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl, they talked about how that has become a comfort zone play for Jalen Hurts. And that's not a good thing, because if you're going to that many screens, then that shows either you don't know how to beat what's in front of you, or you don't recognize what's in front of you that the defense is presenting. So that's something that I'm hoping Kellen Moore is helping the transition with, to kind of expand the comfort zone of Jalen Hurts, so he doesn't have just one or two plays that he goes to that he feels like, okay, this will get me 3 yards, this will get me 2 yards, whatever it might be. And I'm hoping that's what this offense is doing now with the new head, with the new coaching staff.
Farzi, let's move on from Nick Sirianni. I'm done talking about him today. I got to be honest with you. What else did you take away from minicamp last week? We learned a lot from the brief amount of time we had, but
yeah,
we did learn. I always say to John, I like when you guys go down there. We do get some stuff, whether people like to joke about it or not. What did you take away from what you saw from minicamp last week?
Keely Ringo shouting, "Don't forget about me." That's what I kind of took away. Ooh. That. And but at the same time, here's what's great about it. And if Howie Roseman went into this offseason, which he did say he did, if he went into this offseason looking for competition at the cornerback spot, oh, they got it. Number one, Keely Ringo coming out and saying how when he was asked the question about drafting two corners at his position after having a decent rookie season, of course, and coming on strong, especially late when the Eagles needed somebody to come on strong. Hey, what was your feeling about drafting two corners, two guys that are looking to take your position here with the Eagles to add to the competition? And he said, a greater chance for competition and a greater chance to get better. That's all I want to hear. Just that type of mentality I love. Also talking about him blanketing receivers, Quenya Mitchell staying stride for stride with guys. Cooper DeGene doing his thing, just missing dropping a potential pick six in practice. You know, all that is music to my ears that you're going to have stiff competition at the cornerback spot. That's number one. Number two is the moment is not at all lost on Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. They understand what is being asked of them by this organization. With Fletcher Cox, not just with Fletcher Cox not being there, but the most shallow the interior defensive line has been for me in recent memory, to come in here and be those dominant players, to come in here and get numbers that will rival Fletcher Cox, get numbers that will rival Javon Hargrave. Like, get numbers like that, whether it's Jordan Davis eating up a double team or Jalen Carter doing it, somebody getting a little bit of pressure in the face of the quarterback, or somebody being able to plug the run, trying to go up the middle, opening up stuff for Josh Sweat on the outside, Bryce Huff, stuff like that. The moment is not lost on Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Everything we've said, everything the fans have said about them going into this offseason and now in mini camp and approaching training camp, they understand what this organization is asking them to do. And I love that. The same thing can be said about Jordan Mailata's comments about Jason Kelsey. Maintaining the standard set by guys like Jason Kelsey is something that is not just walking out of the offensive line room as Jason Kelsey goes into retirement. These moments are not lost in these players. They want to continue to carry that banner throughout their own careers.
Yeah. Well, I like all those thoughts. I go back to the offensive line, though, Mark, from the perspective of, I feel like every year it's like, and understandably people love skill position guys. Saquon, say it's been a Saquon offseason. The offense, you conversely, you mentioned the great defensive backs, the great young defensive backs and how well they played. I've been ground floor on Kaylee Ringo. I think he's got a legit shot to be a real good corner in this league. Conversely, the offense looked pretty bad, and, you know, they're supposed to be great. And I have no concern from this perspective, Mark. The offensive line's not involved. They're not involved. Occasionally, they stand out there for one team drill, but they're not involved.
Yeah.
The minute they get involved, and Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson, Landon Dickerson keep pushing on people, everything changes. Play action is involved. You can't jump routes. All those young cornerbacks, you can only say good things about them. They're jumping routes. Well, you fake a handoff to Saquon Barkley, you got a false step, and all of a sudden A.J. Brown's behind you. Doesn't look as good. I don't worry about the offense until the – every year with the Eagles, it's about the offensive line. Offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. Jason Kelsey's the one change, but – everybody thinks Cam Jurgens is going to be a good center. Maybe not that good, but Jeff Stoutland said, yeah, I didn't know if he can play guard. I know he can play center. They're going to have a good offensive line again. It's always the offensive line with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
All the other stuff, it's just fodder for us. If the offensive line dominates, they're going to be good.
I think, yeah, oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. With the exception of Jalen Hurts. And I have a lot of confidence in Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is going to be another MVP candidate in this upcoming season. Hopefully beyond week 11, week 12, when they played San Francisco. Going into that game, he was the leader in the clubhouse.
He was the MVP, yeah, at that point.
Yeah. I want to see another wire-to-wire solid year, like I saw in the second year of Jalen Hurts, where he was an MVP candidate. And I think he'll do that again. But this is a new system. I have said many times before, this is the no excuse year of Jalen Hurts. You have a very well experienced and play caller, an offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Of weapons are all around you. I still think the offensive line is going to be solid as we have seen it. I have no doubt that Kellen Moore physically can do a lot of the same things that Jason Kelce has done. My question is the communication between the center and the communication between the quarterback, shifting protection, calling out protection, shifting all that. I want to know what that looks like. Tyler Steen, I need to see play more, you know, obviously regularly at a right guard spot. But yeah, it's going to come down to the offensive line. It's going to come down to your quarterback. I mean, this is the NFL, so a lot of it's going to come down to your quarterback. Unless you have some incredible lights out number one defense, it's all going to be about how Jalen Hurts is approaching the season and the production he's able to have behind what I do think will be a good offensive line and the weapons that are surrounding him. The no excuse year, the one excuse we've heard kind of time and time again with Jalen Hurts is he needs 2 years. You don't have 2 years here. After the way it ended last year. Up and throw it away. Go out and be a top offense in the NFL and be the MVP candidate.
Yeah, I'm also sick of the comments on the revolving door coordinator. John says it all the time. He pushes back on me. If you're a good team, you're going to lose coordinators. Get used to it. So I'm tired of hearing Jalen talk about that. But Farzia, on speaking of Jalen Hurts, any concern Kellen Moore is going to try and change him to be different than what makes Jalen Hurts great? I mean, he coached Dak Prescott. He coached, Justin Herbert. I'm not saying he's going to.
He coached Ben DiNucci.
Any concern that they're going to pull him out of what makes him good?
Okay. I heard Kellen Moore, a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
Talk about Jalen Hurts. And I want to believe him, but I feel like a scorned lover, gentlemen. I heard Nick Sirianni say last year, we're going to embrace the uniqueness of Jalen Hurts. We're going to embrace. And I thought that's the most beautiful way to put that, because that answers the question. Like, should he run more? Should he stop running? Should he throw more? Like, no, hold on. If you have a unicorn, you let the unicorn be the unicorn. Yes. You let him fly. You know what I'm saying? You
polish up the horse. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's
You're
what I'm saying.
You're a wise man, Mark.
You got a Pegasus on your hands in the stable, and you're asking him to be like one of them show ponies. I don't think so. So for me, I heard Kellen Moore say not the exact same thing, but something extremely close to it. And it was along the lines of, we want Jalen to be Jalen. And I thought, I'm going to hold you to that. Because I was hurt so bad last year when I did not see the Eagles embrace the uniqueness of Jalen Hurts' game. And they time and time again, the only time they really did it was the tush push. But even then, you had a Hall of Fame center pushing in front of them. I need to see them.
And stealing a half yard all the time.
Stealing a half yard. Exactly. I need to see them actually embrace the uniqueness of his game. And how about this? Make him better. We've seen him be pretty damn good. Go ahead and make him be better. Have a way for him to find consistency in his game. And the only concern I have from the Kellen Moore offense to Jalen Hurts is not necessarily about letting Jalen Hurts be Jalen Hurts. It's the turnovers.
Yeah.
Because they are going to air the football out. If there's and John, oh man, I hate to rehash so many things, but we've talked about the single still being a good thing. You know, every once in a while, the defense is taking that deep ball away instead of taking that chance downfield. Where's the check down? Put the ball in the hands of Saquon Barkley. He could be a home run hitter catching a ball at the line of scrimmage. He can do that. I hope that is part, at least part of this offense, that it's coached into the brain. Two things with Jalen Hurts. Every once in a while, take the single, work a walk. You know what I'm saying? And then the other thing I want to talk about with him is when it comes to Jalen Hurts and situational football, if you're in the game, I always go back to because it's the perfect example. 8:15 left in the game in Seattle. This is not the end of the game interception at A.J. Brown where they improvised. This is the 8:15 left in the fourth quarter. You're up 4 points, first and 10, and he throws down the middle of the field to Quez Watkins. It gets intercepted. That's not on Quez. That's on Jalen. That's a poor decision to make in the fourth quarter of that game. Put that kind of instinct into Jalen Hurts' head, and I think this will be a much better season as well for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I with Jalen, we don't talk about Jalen that much. Excuse me, because I think everyone knows he's a good player. It's a matter of getting back to what his ceiling is. Can he be that runner-up to the MVP? Can he be that close? Can he be the best player on the field in the Super Bowl? Or, you know, did what we see last year? But you bring up the turnovers, Mark. To me, there wasn't much difference between Jalen Hurts in 2022 and Jalen Hurts in 2023, except the turnovers. He had, you know, now I think he was a little banged up with the knee, and that limited some of that uniqueness. But at the end of the day, he still had whatever it was, 15 rushing touchdowns. He had more rushing touchdowns last year than he had the year prior. He's got 28 over 2 years, I think. The numbers are phenomenal, but he turned it over too much. And he has a history. You know, some of those things are random. Coaches don't like to admit it. You have to look at everyone. But like the interception Seattle, that's awful. The interception against the Jets at the end, awful.
Oh, yeah.
Those are all Jalen Hurts. On the other hand, the mesh point. You know, Kenny Gainwell screwing up the mesh point ain't Jalen Hurts' fault, but it's on Jalen Hurts' resume because they always give that to the quarterback. One more thing, Mark. He's always taken care of the football until last year. If that goes back to normal, I think you're fine.
I agree. Yeah. That's the culprit. That's the culprit. You don't turn the football over with this offense, especially if this is going to come down to giving the other team opportunities to score. And I know that sounds like the most basic thing you could say, but really, you look at last year, I would say a lot of things went wrong at the end of the season. But one of the things that made those games so close, and the Eagles being one of the playoff teams with the worst point differential in the league, that's why it was so close throughout the season. That's why in 2022, you had six games that you won by 10 or more points. Last year, you only had two. So that's not exactly you controlling a game from start to finish. You continue to give opportunities to the team. Some of that to other teams. Some of that also comes down to the situational football, whether it's throwing the ball downfield to A.J. Brown against the Commanders and later having to just squeak out that win against the Commanders in overtime, or that's the Seattle game that we've referenced already. Situational football is going to become a big deal and giving the other team more opportunities to score. Turnovers obviously do that. That's why when you win the turnover battle, generally speaking, you win the game.
Yeah.
If they could coach that into Jalen Hurts' head, they're going to be a lot more successful. And Jalen Hurts is just – I don't want him to be – I mean, there's a reckless abandon and then cautious and scared. Like, where do you want him? You know what I mean? I just want him to be smart.
2021, he had 11 turnovers. 2022, he had 8. 2023, he had 20.
Right.
So – if you go back to 8 is phenomenal, but even if you're 12, 13, I think it's a completely different team. And oh, by the way, they still won 11 games with all those turnovers. You know, it was 2 years ago, I think, Dak Prescott had 15 interceptions, and Eagles fans were saying, "Start." And by the way, he only played 12 games that year. The whole joke was, who led the league in interceptions and missed 5 games? Dak Prescott and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. C.J. missed 5, led the league in interceptions. Dak missed 5, led the league in interceptions. Jalen had 15 in 17 games last year, which ain't good in the modern NFL. But his history says, and Dak did, that's why I bring up Dak, Dak regressed back to his mean, which is, he typically takes care of the football. I think that happens with Jalen Hurts this season.
Too optimistic? No, I mean, I think that's very realistic. I feel like that's a good way to look at it. The other side of it is that they do try to air it out too much. And that's where he might not be ready to take that next step in terms of so much dominant passing in a Kellen Moore offense. But if Kellen Moore can get it right between the ears and the communication right between the ears with him and Jalen Hurts, and Cam Jurgens is helping out on that offensive line, I don't expect him to be on the level of Jason Kelce as far as that goes in the communication and the respect that it might go between Kelce and Hurts, as it would for Hurts and Jurgens in this case. But if all that comes together, which is why you get these workouts into the offseason, it's why Jalen Hurts is in the building getting this extra work in, it's why you're seeing the social media picks, and people might laugh at it, but there was a question as to whether or not Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley were going to be using the RPO under Kellen Moore. And one of the first things the Eagles put out on social media was them working on the RPO. So that's all things that I think will come together nicely by the time training camp breaks and the regular season gets underway. It's not going to be easy. They're going to have to work hard at it. Kellen Moore is going to have to understand how he's going to coach up, you know, this new team and his new quarterback. Realizing that he's very different from Dak Prescott and being able to go out there with the right stuff between the ears to go out there and execute and do it with great regularity.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think you're right. I think that's the biggest point, biggest thing that the Eagles offense did for this season is Jalen Hurts. And to your point, the turnovers. Before I let you go, one more question. How confident are you feeling in the defense going into this season as compared to how you were last year? I think there's been a little bit of hype with the Vic Fangio and the young corners and all that stuff. Feeling good about the defense?
I feel better about the coordinator. Yeah. I mean, last year, I mean, people
a non-Greek god of defense. I can't say Greek god in front of Mark because he's not Greek. It's more
anime. He's one of them Italians, as some people
Italian
might say.
Italian god doesn't sound as good.
The Roman god. You say Roman god. You just stole him from the Greeks anyway. Same thing. Anyway, I mean, Zeus, Jupiter, whatever the case might be. I think that's the right correlation. But anyway, I like Vic Fangio being here. I'm in favor of Vic Fangio being here. I love that everyone's saying the glowing things about Vic Fangio being here. But people so quickly forget we were hyped going into last year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Gannon was an idiot. It's got to be better than Jonathan Gannon, Mark.
It can't be worse. Come on,
can't be worse.
They had the best passing defense in the NFL last year.
Can't be worse than having the best passing defense.
The only thing we were pissed about, and then we kind of got over it, and then we were back to not being over it, was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson not being here. It's the only thing. And he's back. So I like that. And I do think the Eagles are going to be better off this year than they were last year at the cornerback position, because I do think I'm not for James Bradbury. I think he's already played his last game as an Eagle. John, I don't know where you're at on that.
Yeah.
But I don't forget how hyped I was going into last year, because James Bradbury was the victim going into last year. He gets called for a holding in the Super Bowl. Oh, he causes the game. Yeah. It's a little different this time around after the way last season ended.
I think it's funny because Sean is a direct disciple of Big, obviously. Uh-huh. Big loves Sean Desai. And Sean would do all these crazy things and like moving Bradbury to the slot. And we'd say, hey, what the hell is this guy doing? And Big comes out and he says, yeah, I'd like to throw a lot at people early and see. And everybody's, all right, do what you need. Big.
Yeah,
that's the exact same thing as Sean Desai, but we're like, well, it's Big.
Well, you understand there's probably a method to the madness in a guy like Vic Fangio. Desai, you're like, man, what's this?
There
guy
was
know?
A method to his madness taught to him by Vic Fangio, but he didn't have the cachet to pull it off, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Big. No one questions Big.
Yeah. No. Well, we all had a math teacher in our lives. It doesn't mean we were all mathematicians. You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. That's true, too. That's that Temple education. Well done, Mark.
Thank you very much. Graduated in 4 years. Very proud of that.
Yes. Great stuff, Mark Farzetta. Thanks for joining the show, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Always a pleasure, fellas. See you.
Thanks, Mark Farzetta, joining us on Birds 365. Good stuff, as always, from Mark Farzetta. Does a great job. Make sure you listen to the Farzy Show, 6 to 7 a.m. every day, Monday through Friday. So great show there. Johnny Mack, another show in the books, Tuesday edition. Nick Sirianni heavy again. Maybe we can move on from this.
I don't know. Yeah, that's going to be the story.
I know it is.
Yeah, it's going to be the story and the disconnect with the quarterback. Is there a disconnect and blah, blah. Hey, the Eagles created this. This is a self-inflicted wound. That was, easy plaudit. Oh, he's doing a great job. That's it. They want a really good job and throw a couple other platitudes on there. It's been tremendous. Still engaged, still leading us well. Now he's more involved with other aspects of the football team. Bang. End of it. End of sentence. No issues. But he answered the way he answered. So I don't blame people for bringing it up.
No, I don't at all. Yeah. did you see John Stolness? He wrote something about it. Boy, it was funny. He's like, what Jalen Hurts could have responded. And he gave three of the easiest responses Jalen could have given. And they were easy. I mean, they were one sentence easy.
Yeah.
And well, it just showed how much Jalen really did avoid kind of going there with Nick, which I do think is interesting. I mean, look, I don't want to talk about it, but we're going to be talking about it for sure.
Yeah. Unfortunately, from my perspective, because I'd like not to talk about it, but self-inflicted wounds in many ways. But again, my focus is on I never liked the setup to begin with. I do not, and that's a Jeffrey Lurie problem. And so when Jeffrey's thinking about scapegoats after this season, he might want to look in the mirror. Obviously, he's not going to fire himself, but
no.
Maybe he learns from it at 72. I doubt it. He's had a history of this in recent seasons when the team doesn't reach his expectations. So I doubt it's going to change. But, I don't like the way he set this thing up.
Yep, I'm with you. So we'll talk about all that and more coming up later this week on Birds 365. That's going to do it for Tuesday's edition. One more super chat we missed. John, did Isaiah Rodgers become Deion Sanders from Wolfram?
No. Well, maybe in spring ball, yes. It's ironic. Deion wasn't known as the greatest tackler in the history of the world, to put it mildly. But, that's the best probably coverage corner ever. A, the Eagles aren't going to play that style. Deion was great press corner. They're going to play ton of zone, but Isaiah was great. I mean, he was great in the spring, and to his credit, because Isaiah is big on social media, if people want to follow him, he said it doesn't mean anything in the spring. He knows, and Christian Parker mentioned it as well, the new secondary coach. You got to see him with the pads on because he wasn't great in run support, had a big missed tackle percentage when he was in Indianapolis. But for a guy who hasn't played football in over 500 days, he's an NFL player. So he proved that. Is he going to be Deion Sanders? No. He's not going to be Deion Sanders.
Rumor is the pipeline from Johnny Mack's OTA MVP to Deion Sanders has never been clearer. So we will see how Isaiah Rodgers pans out in this defense. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today on this Tuesday of the offseason and in warm June. I hope everybody has a chance to get outside today if the weather permits where you are. Thank you guys for tuning in today. Bob, James, James Jones, James Carver, a couple of you guys. Dank Bird Gang, JR, Slagger, we appreciate each and SMD Eagles. We appreciate all of you guys for being here today, our loyal listeners who make the show great every single day. So we appreciate all of you guys. Hit the like button on your way out. Johnny Mack, great Tuesday show. Thank you, sir. We'll catch you tomorrow on Birds 365.
Yep. Thanks for listening.